spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. And the word natural, if you go back to verse 14, but the natural man, basically, here the word's a little bit different, but it's the same root word. We looked at the word for body back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 with psuche, having to do with the body. And we also said that that word for the soul and the body can sometimes be used interchangeably. But the word natural here is psuchikos. This is what it means. It means the sensuous nature with its subjective or with its subjection to appetite and passions. Listen, when your body gets hungry, you're looking for something to eat. And when something really smells good, it can really trigger off, hey, you know what, I'm hungry. Or if it really smells good, it doesn't matter if you're hungry or not. You say, I think I can cram that in one way or the other, right? We're giving way to the passions of our body. We may say to ourselves, you know, I really don't need this. But you know what, it looks so good. And it smells so good. And I'm sure it tastes so good. And I'm going to eat it anyway, whether I need it or whether I don't need it. We have just basically given in to the passion of our flesh. Now, I've shared it before. I never really thought giving up sugar would be so hard. Sweet thing. I mean, you know, I think all my teeth are sweet teeth. Someone said I got a sweet tooth. I've got a lot of them. I have a bunch of them up there. And it's a hard thing to do. Now, I know mentally that it's not a good thing for me right now because my body can't process the sugar the way it should. And so what does it do? It creates additional problems. And so, you know, at some point you got to really discipline yourself to those things, but it's not always easy to do. So we have that battle. And so when we look at the word the natural, but the natural man in verse 14, we're talking about this, the Greek word psuchikos, the sensuous nature with its subjection to appetites and passions. But then also we look in verse 15 and it says, but he that is spiritual, the word spiritual is pneumatikos, or from the root word from we had from spirit was pneuma. Now, what that means is, by the aid of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's dealing with the aid of the Holy Spirit. So, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now, how do I judge all things appropriately? How do I have a mature spiritual outlook on those things? I'm guided and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. He uses the Word of God to give me the information, the knowledge that I really need. Now, spiritually discern is the phrase that he uses there. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. I'm sorry, back in verse 14, the very last part of that verse, it says, because they are spiritually discerned. See, you have to be saved to really understand the Word of God. Have you ever talked with someone and they kind of look at you like, you don't even know what you're talking about. You're some sort of an idiot. And yet you're talking to them about things that God wants, what things that God expects of us, things that we're supposed to do as Christians because we're thankful that God has saved us, redeemed us from our sin. And they look at you like, what's wrong with you? What's happening there is that you've been saved and your spirit has been quickened, and now the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, can actually speak to your spirit, and your spirit can speak to your mind to guide you and to direct you to make good choices and good decisions. And at the same time, the flesh is saying, now he may use other people, or it may just be something that you really crave, and I'm not just talking about food, but maybe something that may be immoral. That before your salvation was something you were involved in, you really had a craving and a desire for those kind of things. That's why as believers, things that have held us captive prior to our salvation are things that, if they can be harmful to our physical bodies and harmful to our testimonies, we need to work on those things because we can't be controlled by things of the world and controlled by the Holy Spirit at the same time. See, what's happening is sort of like, okay, I am controlled in a vast area of my life by certain things. But there is this one thing that's a holdover from the world as the weak link in that chain. And that's exactly what it is. It's a weak link. So spiritually discern, and I want you to note the word discern is in the present tense. That means that right now, when I need to understand what I need to understand, I can get in the Word of God, I can get on my knees before God and say, God, I need help, I need understanding. But also, it's in the passive voice. which means God is going to give you, the Holy Spirit of God is going to bring to you the understanding when you need it, as you need it, and for all the right reasons. And of course, it's in the indicative mood, which simply means it's a simple statement of fact. If you've been saved as a child of God, and you need some spiritual discernment, you get along with God, you get in the Word of God, maybe you get some counsel from those who have maybe been saved a little bit longer, or maybe they've gone through very similar things, and God's guided and directed them through those things, then we can get along with them and talk with them and counsel them and maybe enlist them into our prayer life with us. And so it just becomes a simple statement of fact that God wants us to know these mysteries. But then thirdly, the Holy Spirit of God leads our spirit as believers into all truth. That's His ministry. Christ's ministry was to go to the cross, to give His life, to shed His blood, so that those who have lost hope, come to Christ for hope, and receive Him, will be saved. But His ministry now in the life of us believers is given to us in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. The Gospel of John, chapter 16. So the Holy Spirit of God leads our spirit as believers into all truth. He guides us into truth using the Word of God to instruct us, to teach us, if you will, allow Him to do so. And I'll get there in just a minute. Beginning in verse 7. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Now, what he's simply saying in that first little several words, he's simply saying, it's expedient that I go. Listen, he said, my ministry is complete. My ministry is finished. When he said it's finished on the cross, it's exactly what he meant. It's done. Nothing more needs to be done as far as making it possible for man, lost man, to be reconciled to God. And he says, it's expedient that I go. Why? Because when he's going to heaven to be our intercessor, to be our advocate, and the Holy Spirit is going to come to be the paraclete. That is, he who comes alongside of us to guide us and to lead us. He's the comforter. So that when we're wrestling with things and we don't seem to have answers, we don't seem to have hope, we don't seem to have direction, we can get alone with him and he provides those things. So he goes on and he says in verse 7, for if I go not away, the comforter or the paraclete will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Listen, you're saved today not because someone gave you the gospel. That's part of it. You're saved because the Holy Spirit of God took what that person brought to you and convinced you that that's what you need to do. I can't convince you of anything. But the Holy Spirit of God is the one who convinced every one of us that we were lost without hope and that we need to receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But he goes on and he says, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. See, we become dependent on preachers and teachers. We become completely dependent sometimes on commentaries. And we wonder why kind of our walk with God is kind of flat. It's because we need to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. Now, he can use others in the process, but the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God should be our primary source. But he goes on, he said, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Verse 14 says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. I want you to note verses 12 and 13. Again, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. See, they needed to receive the Holy Spirit of God in order to be able to understand. And it's the same thing for you and I. Once we are saved, our spirit is quickened, and the Holy Spirit addresses us through that spirit. Our spirit is that which makes contact or connects with the Holy Spirit of God. So, between the body, that is our flesh, and the spirit of man lies our soul. Where we make our choices and we make our decisions. And we make, I did, listen, if an you have to understand something, an unsaved person makes his or her decisions and makes his or her choices only based on one source of input. Now, technically they are a trichotomy, but as to having a relationship with God, they're a dichotomy because their spirit is dead. Dead to the things of God. And don't ever let someone convince you that going to church and being nice and charitable and philanthropic and all those kind of things is going to weigh in. I was up, we had Brother Dan and Faith, we went up towards Stowe Saturday, and we went up to the Cold Hollow Mill, or Cider Mill, which I'd like to stop by there and grab a few cups of sugar, you know. Anyway, but I noticed there was a plaque, they had a lot of plaques in there, and some of them were really kind of humorous, but one of them was very grievous because it said, "The road to heaven is paved with good intentions." Now, that's never been an expression that believers have ever used, because believers always said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I always meant to go to church, or I always meant to get saved, or I always meant to get spiritual at some particular point. They just never found the time to do it. So, no, heaven is not the road to heaven is not paved with good intentions. The road to heaven is paved with the blood of Christ. That's how we get there, to heaven, because of what Christ did for us. But anyway, between the body and the flesh and the spirit of man lies our soul, where you and I make our choices and make our decisions. It is here that we will either choose the way of the Lord, to abide by his principles, to abide by his precepts, or to follow the flesh and reject what God has said. Every instance in my Christian life, my Christian walk, that I have found myself between a rock and a hard place, it's because I set aside God's principles or God's precepts or the convicting force of the Holy Spirit, and I struck out in my own fleshly desires. Every single time. Now, obviously, we are addressing the issues of life. Longing for worldliness that rejects God's righteousness and opting for worldly knowledge and wisdom, worldly reasoning and thought life. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, we're almost done here. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, there we read in the Bible, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now, that word imagination is a really important word. We see it used once again over in Romans chapter 1, and I believe Brother Sousa did touch on that portion of Scripture quite a bit. Did a wonderful job there. But we see the word imagination used once again in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Keep flipping right on by it. But beginning in verse 21 and verse 22, is it because that when they knew God, there was a time when man really did know God? I mean, say Adam and Eve knew God. God walked with them in the cool of the evening in the garden, and they conversed. And I have no doubt that Seth, Cain and Abel and Seth and on down, they knew God. But it goes on and it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their what? Imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Now, listen, the idea of imagination back in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word yester, is the intellectual framework or that information resident in our minds by which we reason or think about things, how we think and reason about issues, how we think and reason about life, about God, and about his word. All that is the infrastructure that generates reasoning, thought, or whatever. Now, having said all of this, those things that our flesh love and the degree to which our spirit loves the Lord plays greatly into the decisions and the choices that you and I make. And so back to Psalm 1 tonight as we close. I believe it's imperative that we understand the dynamics of the body, soul, and the spirit, and how we feed either and or. In Psalm 1, with so much available in the way of money, materialism, the misery index in America is at an all-time high. Can we blame the president? Can we blame Congress? Well, I'm sure they're part and parcel to it. But as believers, we really have no one else to blame but ourselves if you're miserable. The Apostle Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be what? To be content. Now, that doesn't mean that I have to sit back and take all the garbage and the filth. I certainly have to do the right thing. Make sure that if I'm going to vote this coming year, I'm going to vote for people who I believe are going to do a good job in representing us. But depression, boredom, unhappiness, discontent, they're rampant among our young people. And we find in the first Psalm several key principles that will lead any of us to know a deep abiding happiness, regardless of what's going on around us. Verse 1 begins with blessed. Now, 18 times the Hebrew word ebshar is translated happiness, and 27 times it's translated blessedness. So over the next several Wednesday evenings, the Lord willing, we will look at this psalm by looking at it in three sections. Blessed is the righteous man. And the next point will be blight of the unrighteous man. So we got blessed is the righteous man, blight of the unrighteous man, and then thirdly, both contrasted. We're going to look at those. And hopefully that, but I wanted you to understand, and I believe this is why a lot of believers really stumble and they falter. Not understanding there being a trichotomy, a body, a soul, and a spirit. And we've seen those advertisements on television, and you have seen where people have had a devil on their shoulder and an angel on the other side, and back and forth a little bit because the angel wants to do the right thing, the devil's trying to get him to ignore the angel. That's real life. The devil works through the world and the flesh. And that's why Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17, I believe it's 9 and 10, he said that the heart is deceitful. He said the heart is wicked. Talking about our flesh. And it wants what it wants. And if it's pleasurable, even if it's only pleasurable for a season, we're not careful. We're going to give into it. But if we are saved, then the Spirit of God is trying to draw us back. Because what God is after in every single one of us is a spirit-controlled mind. The Holy Spirit of God working through our spirit. Our spirit to bring to our mind godly wisdom, godly knowledge that we can rein in our flesh and know. I'll just give you one example. The way the world thinks, the way the world reasons. I heard it on Fox. They were talking back and forth because of what happened out there in, I believe it was Indiana, where that man shot. And of course, the gun, the anti-gun crowd is constantly calling for what? Stricter control on guns. Just get guns, take care of guns, just get rid of them all of our society. Well, here's the problem. That every crime that has ever happened of that magnitude has always happened in a gun-free zone. But you see, they don't seem to be able to put that together. When you take guns away from responsible citizens, then only the criminals will have guns. They don't seem to get that. So the woman says, she said, I would rather not have a guard with a gun in school because I don't want my kid in school because I don't know the nature of the guard. Well, I think they said something like there's 10,000 schools out of 100 and some odd, 150,000 schools in America who actually have armed guards in their schools. But this debate is irrational based on emotions, not on the facts. If you just look at the fact, and I do have guns, but I'm not out there praying around. But the way the world tries to solve problems is foolishness for the most part. You and I can have at least some insight and some wisdom and knowledge that we might not have otherwise. And so we should be able to bring rational information to the discourse in American life. But we have to live it before we can, we have to import it before we can export it. Amen. So anyway, we're going to be looking at Happy is the Man. This tonight was part one. Happy is the Man, part two, the Lord willing, next Wednesday. There we go. So anyway, Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together. Lord, just to look at the mechanics of our being. Lord, we look in the mirror in the morning and all we see is ourselves. And Lord, we don't realize the depth and the breadth, the wonder to our creation of a body, soul, and a spirit. And Lord, originally it was meant to be that the spirit would be certainly controlling the mind, and the mind would control the body until Adam chose differently. And Father set humanity on a course where the spirit of man died. It can now only be quickened by faith in Christ. Lord, how we rejoice tonight in how the gospel of Jesus Christ and Lord, your power quickened our spirits to be once again in tune with our Father, his desires and his wishes, his purposes and his plans, his precepts and his principles. And Father, may we realize that these principles are the means by which we rein in our flesh. And Lord, not everything that our flesh likes and wants to do is is evil in and of itself. But Father, there are some things which are serious detriments to our spiritual walk with you. And so, Father, help us to discern, help us to know, help us to make the right decisions, to be in the right place with your spirit and in the word. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.